All right, we'll go ahead and get started. My name's Chris Swerzy. I'm Technical Projects Manager for the Brewers Association. Thanks for coming. One housekeeping announcement. If you have questions for this panel, and this is an awesome panel, so I hope you have questions, please use the microphone right up here. Good, line up behind that so we can record that. That way when you get home and you pull down the presentation and the audio, or when anybody else does, they can hear your question, and then they can, you know, hear the reply that goes with it. Raise your hand if you don't know what HACCP is. There's a couple hands. So, you know, it can be a pretty scary topic just because, you know, it's a bunch of letters and it's hard to pronounce. But the more scary thing than HACCP is a product recall, and this, you know, or something like that. So this is a really important issue. It's becoming increasingly important on the regulatory side as well, but it's really about doing the right thing about, you know, for your consumers and for your business. Today's panel is going to help you understand how and why to think ahead about your manufacturing process, because after all, people are drinking, you know, what you make. They're putting it in their bodies and having a great time, and we want to stay in the fun business. Our panelists today are terrific. Patrick Staggs has over 20 years of experience in beverage industry at Dr. Pepper, Snapple, Dogfish Head, and most recently as Director of Continuous Improvement at Crown Cork and Seal. Jim Kerr began his brewing career at G. Heilemann in 1984. Currently serves as brewmaster and director of brewery operations at the Matt Brewing Company in Utica, New York. Jim is a leading voice in HACCP at Master Brewers Association of the Americas, leading their HACCP recent resource project. Jim delivered a Brewers Association Power Hour about that MBAA resource in January of 2013. The Power Hour is available online in our archive, and the MBAA resource is available at their website. It's a terrific resource to help you begin to get your arms around HACCP in your brewery. And then finally, Dr. Tatiana Lorca is a senior manager of food safety education and training at Ecolab. She's in charge of developing audit, training, consulting services, and scientific support for the supply chain from farm to fork, as well as working with multiple internal divisions to assure staff compliance with international food safety certification programs. Previously, Dr. Lorca has served as food safety education and training manager and manager of supply chain quality assurance at various companies, coordinating and delivering food safety training and certification programs. This is a great group. Please join me in welcoming Rob, Patrick, Jim, and Tatiana.
All right, so looking around the room, it looks like many of you had as fun last night as I did, and it's also Friday afternoon at the CBC, and I'm thrilled the commitment you guys are showing to be at a food safety for breweries talk, so that's a good amount of awesome. Thank you for showing up here today. Okay, so just to break down how we're going to speak to you today, I'm going to give you a brief overview on food safety for breweries, kind of what the case is, what's the case of why we're talking about this, and then give you some real practical resources, some avenues to go after in order to gain some more information on this topic. We'll roll that right into the biggest part of food safety, which is GMPs, Good Manufacturing Practices for breweries, and a prerequisite program, setting the foundation. Jim's going to go into that and show you some real life examples, what it looks like in breweries. And then Tatiana's going to round us out here with a good, solid intro to HACCP and what that looks like for breweries of all sizes. All right, so first of all, just real quick, I'm a Crown Cork and Seal, as Chris mentioned. We're a metal packaging company, primarily beverage cans and ends. And being a beverage packaging supplier, food safety is paramount to our customers. Therefore, quality and food safety are huge for us. So we're practicing every day. It's a big part of our business. All right, so first things first. Why are you here? You might be wondering already in the first 2 minutes of me speaking why you're here. So I'm going to guess there's really three areas to to think where you guys are here. First of all, a lot of you here just for purely information. You know, you could have been here on your own, sent by someone in your brewery. Maybe you're hearing this buzzing up. Maybe there's other reasons, but what are the reasons why you're here? What the hell is this all about? What is this HACCP, this corporate acronym thing I've heard about? Does it really make a difference for breweries? How's it going to apply to us? I know the big food companies have it and everything, but breweries, really? I thought we were safe from all this stuff. And then some of you, know much, are aware of it, know some things about it, but are we really ready for this? Is this going to work for us in our place? All right. Others of you might be a little further along the journey, and you may be coming from different backgrounds. One of the things that I'm seeing with the incredible growth is that the pool is starting to shrink, right? And we're reaching outside the industry more often than not now, especially for larger production breweries. So we have a lot of food and beverage experts coming in, and they come with these backgrounds of food safety and HACCP and GMPs. So for those of you further along, you need some ammo in your place. You know, hey, I believe in this. I know we need it. This is important, but I'm like the only guy in the brewery that is fighting this battle. I need some ammo. Help me make the case to my owner, to my company, to the folks in the brewery. All right, and we get it in there. Hey, we're making some good progress, but how are we going to get this thing to stick? Like, we had a little flame up, and everyone was like kind of gung-ho, but now it's just, you know, we're on to bigger and better things and other problems we're dealing with. So how do we get this thing to stick in our place? And then give me some examples. What are other breweries doing? What are, you know, all the way from 10-barrel breweries to 10-barrel system breweries up to 250 system barrel breweries? You know, what? Give me some examples of what it really looks like. What can I do today? All right, and then the next one is direction. So where do I go for help? So I may be anywhere along those lines in that journey, but I need more examples. I need templates. I need documents. I need training. I need all these different things. So some of my customers are asking for certification. Where can I make sure that, hey, if I'm passing on what I've learned in my brewery to my folks, how can I make sure that's a standardized training? It's the right type of training, the right type of certification. And lastly, can someone just tell me how to get started? Where do I go? I'm all about it, but what the heck is the first step? All right, so really, why? This kind of falls into the ammo category, okay? So recap. First of all, responsibility. All the things we're going to talk about could all be encompassed back into this really comes down to doing the right thing, okay? We're making great, fun products that we put into our bodies, and we have a responsibility as we grow quickly here. All right, first responsibility, protect the consumers. So we know what we're making, and we love it, and we don't. Last thing we want to do is put something out there that's going to harm somebody, right? For them to ingest something, for them to get injured or anything like that that could do harm to a consumer. By far, just like safety in your brewery is number one, this is number one in food safety. Okay, next thing is protecting your brand. So think how much time and energy around the clock you're putting into identifying who you are, making your brand known, and giving that experience to people, and they come into your breweries when they're experiencing your product that you're putting out there, then if you did have some kind of failure or something go wrong with your product in the realms of food safety, or if a customer, consumer is coming in and they see things in your brewery that may not match with the image they had, that can really damage you. I think about this a lot, that years ago when craft was really starting to get going, there was almost an identity of, hey, you walk into a craft brewery and it was kind of like loosey-goosey, fun, hey, man, cool, like this place is pretty crafty. Look at all that grain just laying over the floor. Man, these guys are just like, you know, they don't give a care. They're craft, man. This is cool. That's not that cool anymore. You know, it's like you just had this great floral IPA and this amazing, like, oh man, I really want to see this brewery. And you get there and then you see, you know, cleaning brushes laying on the ground and oil leaks coming off of the packaging line, and you're like, WTF, man, like, I don't know. This was good, but so our consumers are getting smarter and they expect more of us. So think about that. And the last one, for all of us, protecting the industry. So it's really interesting, you know, 11,000 brewers here, and we're just immersed in beer mecca of Portland and the CBC and everything. So to us, it's like, yeah, like everyone gets it, right? Everyone knows about craft now. It's amazing how many people are still just are getting into craft and have no idea, right? So you got to keep remembering one of your beers out in the marketplace or in your pub or wherever, when they sample that beer, it could very well be the first craft beer they've ever had. And so if that's a bad experience on a food safety side, something beyond just like this beer's not for me, that could really damage what they think of craft, and that spreads and everything else, and you're hurting all of us. So let's keep that responsibility as well. All right, another thing, we're under pressure. Okay, where are we under pressure from? Under pressure from the consumers. Okay, I talked about how consumers are changing. They demand higher levels of food safety and quality, and they lump them together a lot, but we're going to talk about how food safety and quality are different, but the expectations are raising. Regulatory agencies. I think we are all pretty familiar with everything that happened the past year with the FDA, spent grain proposals that were coming out from them. I mean, that was a lot of work and a lot of education on behalf of all of our agencies representing us, the BA, the MBAA, BI, and we had to put a lot into explaining what we're doing, how we're doing it, how it's safe, how it's been safe for a million years, and it took that education. But it's not going to stop there. We're going to continue to get pressure, and they're going to look for ways to group us in with food. We are a food company. You know, we've been able to slide under the radar as being a brewery, a beer. We're safe, but it's going to continue to come that pressure. We have to change. All right, last one's from customers. So as this goes for a lot of larger breweries in particular, but as we get into different markets for where our beer is sold, especially like grocery store chains and things like that, they have very high standards, and they require their suppliers to have certain types of certification programs, have some certified GMPs. They want to see this stuff. So it's going to continue to be more of a requirement as you get into places like that. All right, so help. So first of all, here's some areas where you can get help. So we have a MBAA Food Safety Committee. We've had this in place for several years now, and this is just a quick look at some of the representation on that team, and we're always rotating. We're bringing in new members, and as people exit, things like that, but the point is we have a great representative piece with all different levels of experience and examples on food safety and breweries, and every one of these guys up there, they're doing some part of that journey currently in the breweries, and it's amazing to see them develop along the way. Okay, resources. So through the MBAA, if you guys are members, you've been to the site, we have a food safety page, and just to guide you through that real quick, this is one great one-stop shop for we have lots of templates, resources, case studies, things like that. So if you're looking for, hey, I know what GMPs, GBPs are, rather than write them all from scratch, can I have something to start with? This is a great start right here. You take that, and then you customize it for your brewery, what makes sense to you. Okay. One thing, and I think Jim will touch on this, you don't want to take someone else's template and just plop it over, have everyone read it, train on it, and now we're doing GMPs. What's going to happen? Yeah, screw you, man. We're not going to follow this thing. You need to do something and make decisions for what works in your brewery. You know, don't dive into hair nets, beer nets right away if you've never done anything. You kidding me? Your brewer's going to say, I'm out of here, dude. All right. Same thing for HACCP, and even breaking that down further, we have HACCP and identifying hazards by area. So we're trying to make it very, very easy to jump into it and start learning and see what others have done. Okay, Jim's going to talk a little about this, but to make it even very simple, when you first time you go here, you look at this flow chart, and it's a step-through process. You know, where am I? What size brewer am I? Have we done any kind of GMPs? Have we done any kind of HACCP programs? Help, 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 and it guides you right where to go. So we're trying to make it incredibly simple for everyone to get started. Okay, and just a few other links to close this out. There's the website for the MBAA. I encourage you to check that out. Safe Quality Food, GFSI. All right, and that's all I have. And there's email, reach out to me at any time for sure. And we're definitely going to take some questions at the end as well. So now I'll bring up Jim, and we'll talk about GMPs.
Thank you, Patrick. My name is Jim Coor. I'm the brewmaster at the Matt Brewing Company in Utica, New York. And like you, not too many years ago, I was presented with the challenge of developing a food safety program from scratch, and I didn't know where to even begin other than to start calling people and ask questions. And I was fortunate enough to come across a few brewers who had come from the food industry and had started some of these things, and they forwarded me some basic templates that got us off the ground. But not too long after that, I was taking a long car ride with a friend of mine in the industry, and I was whining about a customer requiring us to develop a HACCP plan and third-party audits, et cetera. And it was just, I was over my head, and I was pissing and moaning, I'll admit it. And he said, well, why don't you do something about it and try to help other brewers and start a committee for the master brewers. And so two lessons there. One is careful who you whine to. That's number one. And the second one is if you believe in something or if you're faced with a challenge that you know other people are going to face as well, do something about it. Start asking questions, seeing if there's a way that you can help and et cetera. And that's kind of the gist of how we got to where we're at today. But from that real basic level, it wasn't until real food safety professionals came onto the committee to take it up to the level that it's at now. I just stand back and I'm in awe of what these guys know and do. So I'm like you. I'm in the middle of the journey. I'm learning as I go. Our brewery isn't perfect. I haven't run into a perfect brewery yet, but at least working on it and moving forward one little bit at a time. So that's the key. You're not going to have this by next Friday. You just got to start with a commitment to do a little bit at a time. So it all starts with what we're calling good brewing practices. You probably have most of these, I hope, in place already. You just may not call it that. These are the sort of things that your local health inspector is looking for when they come into your plant. The FDA is looking for these. These are required already. So this is basic stuff that you should be doing. And what we're going to show you is just how to formalize the program. Make sure you're checking all the boxes that you have these things. So really in any food safety program, a good 80% of it is just having these GMPs in place. We call good brewing practices where we've taken the standard GMP model and just tweaked it for breweries. So if you do go in and download our template, it's kind of pre-vetted for brewing situations, but there really isn't a whole lot of that's different. And then the other 20% is getting into HACCP. And so don't even start with HACCP until you've got your GMPs in place and the culture that accepts those GMPs pretty rock solid. So what are we going to do here? We're going to, part of it with the requirements is to say what you're going to do. So you have this procedure. It says we're going to do this, this, and that for each of these areas. You have to do what you say. You have to, has to be out there. You have to be living it. You don't want your program just to collect dust on the shelf like so many do. And then you have to prove it. If you can't prove it, you didn't do it. That's really key in HACCP and other programs, but record keeping is probably one of the more difficult things to get started and to make sure that you have a good backup on. So these are the eight basic areas. You've got transportation and storage. Those are things like your carriers. When the truck comes in that you're going to load, do you inspect it first? Is it clean? Is it watertight, et cetera? Does it look like it's been infested with any sort of organisms that you don't want in there with your finished product? SOPs for material handling, et cetera. Your premise, interior and exterior, these go to things like screens and doors and lighting, et cetera, keeping it clean. Your equipment, Patrick mentioned, oil dripping off of machines. Do you have your empty bottles protected from falling paint or dripping dripping machines or lube off the line, et cetera? Are you protecting the interior of the bottle throughout the process? Sanitation, your master cleaning schedules, are they documented? Do your guys keep good records on that? Personnel, are they trained? Do you have good programs for hand washing, et cetera? Pest control is a tricky one. A lot of guys like to do it themselves, and there are parts of that that you can do, but it's really recommended that you hire a professional for that, just due to the changing laws and the responsibilities for the chemicals. Recall, that's something nobody ever wants to do. That means something really bad happened if you have to do a recall. And then product protection, so we get into allergy, glass control, et cetera. You know, in breweries, like we touched on, there aren't a lot of risks to the product itself. It mostly comes from chemical and physical hazards towards the end of the process. But if you have these prerequisite programs in place and they're rock solid, it makes HACCP a heck of a lot easier to implement. So we're just going to go through some examples here, some pictures from a few breweries. You know, when it comes to transportation and storage, one of the great things that this program did at our brewery is we implemented an 18-inch perimeter around all warehouse and storage areas where you can inspect behind. But I'll tell you, for the guy who has to count all the hops every month, being able to get around to the backside and see the back of them is quite helpful. So it has multiple value, but it's also a requirement. So designated runs behind there for inspection is good. Keeping things off the floor, keeping things covered, like this open pallet of glass that was put away with a cover on it, that's good. And then also, like I mentioned earlier, inspecting the trailers before you load that. And then documenting trailer number, what you found, et cetera. So the premise, this is just, you know, small example of you know, the worst and the best example of your surrounding, your building. You don't want area harborage for pests, no vegetation, et cetera. So these are from worst to best, some examples that I found. The equipment, how well do you clean it? Do you document that you cleaned it? Is your procedure documented and are people following it? Here's bottom right is, you know, the leaky gearbox happens everywhere, but when inevitably it happens, is the product protected? Here's some sanitation. Do you have, again, good SOPs? Are you following them? Are your employees dedicated to putting things away where it belongs? I've been in a lot of breweries. We have a very old brewery. This is a challenge for us just because of the age of the facility. So if you're going to do an expansion or an upgrade, are you thinking about the facility sanitation, not just the process when you design it? I've been in a lot of breweries that have this old style of the tank heads that stick out behind the wall. Does anybody ever go behind the wall to see what's back there? Do you have a leaky roof or a drain that's backed up? If no one goes back there to inspect, who knows? This one is just disgusting, I'll tell you. nobody likes the hair picture. So, you know, one of the culture change things that are challenges that you'll face are physical contamination in packaging. And trying to convince people that, you know, pens in your pocket, wristwatches, jewelry, et cetera, are really inappropriate in a food plant. And, you know, going up to somebody who's had a wedding band on for 20 years and saying, you know, you really can't wear that in here. It's not appropriate, or you have to keep it covered. You have to figure out how you're going to deliver that message and how you're going to enforce that message. But that, along with the beard nets and those sort of things, are cultural issues that you have to think thoroughly through. Just writing a procedure, sticking it on the bulletin board, and expecting everybody to follow it joyfully is not realistic.
Hey, Jim, it's real quick. Just because this one here is like, this is kind of the base, some of the very basic GMPs. And if you go, you know, food, beverage, plant, producing food, you know, no, you're not going to have watches, rings, all this stuff in there. Now, this is a great example of, hey, you going into a brewery, you know, brewers like to wear watches, right? They're looking and they're monitoring times, and it's an important tool for them. This came up in our class last week. Sean Terrio from Deschutes, you know, this is a big stumbling one for them, both with beard nets, hair nets, and watches. And so they kind of like, they got all the brewers together, which is an important piece of, like, you don't just decide and then roll it out. You talk about it as a group and figure a solution. And they, for watches, they said that they need them. They want them. We're not going to, we don't want to lose them. And so they sourced watches that were all plastic, and they break easily if they get caught on equipment or something, you know, so you're not doing the safety risk there, and they found something that worked for them. So just, I thought that was kind of neat, because that's a, you know, it helped them really build the case to keep going forward with a simple solution like that.
Yeah, that's terrific. You know, one of the, both in food safety and on the safety committee, culture change is part of the discussion, and part of the resources we want to provide to our members is, you know, what sort of examples and successes have we had that we can share on different approaches on how to deliver these messages and get your team to buy into it. Patrick touched on this a little bit as well. Social media these days is a good and bad tool. If you don't have your programs in place, if an employee is disgruntled, it is so easy for them to take a picture and post it somewhere, and all of a sudden your pristine reputation is tarnished a little bit. So there's many, many reasons. If you give tours and people come in and see this sort of thing, you got to make sure that that you've got it in place. Pest control, like I mentioned, I think is goes to, these are mostly bird and pest or flying object examples, but it goes many other directions as well. But ways to control your pigeons and birds and bees and flies, and especially this time of year when doors are opening and windows are open, and do you have appropriate screens in place? Guys are going to get hot. It's brewery. It's hot and humid, and floors are wet, and they want to get some fresh air. So are you, do you have, there's a lot of options out there for sliding screens, and et cetera, and fans, but you have to also protect the product in that case. It's a lot cheaper in the long run to make sure the screens are in place than to chase birds out of your brewery or deal with you know, some inappropriate deposits that result from not having the screen in place. And do, you know, eventually, you know, when you know you've got a success is when you walk around and you're not having to remind people to do that. They're doing it on their own. They're asking you, Jim, can we get a screen for this window? It's really hot here. And, you know, the answer has to be absolutely, or maybe not, but what's another solution? Let's talk through it. But there's a reason they want to have those windows open. So pest control requirements, again, just real briefly here. You have to have a written program. There has to be documentation of the chemicals used, when they were applied. If there was an issue, should have a report that there was an issue, and then what the solution was. Inspectors will come in, and this is one of the first things that they're going to want to look at. And then this one, I wish that we had audio, because this would go off like a big scary horn, but if you have to hit the recall button, it means something bad happened. Someone that you know, may have harmed somebody else. Some system wasn't in place. Negative things are about to happen. It's going to harm somebody. It's going to harm your reputation. So you want to have your systems in place so you never have to hit this recall button. And finally, product protection. These are things like the allergen programs. You know, part of the reason, just to touch base or back on what Patrick mentioned, one of the reasons that we as brewers in the U.S. don't have to or haven't yet had to follow the rest of the food industry with these programs is because we're regulated by the TTB and not directly by the FDA. Every other brewer that I'm aware of in the world, in Canada and Europe especially, they're regulated by the same under the same rules as the rest of the food industry. So especially when it comes to allergens, this gets really touchy. And if you have any desire to export to Europe, they're going to start asking these questions, and you're going to have these programs in place. So, and another key one, probably you'll talk to this, broken glass is probably one of the biggest issues to face us when you get into a HACCP program. So be ready to address that soon. So just a little review again. Have your procedures in place. Make sure you're doing them, and make sure you can prove it if somebody asks you that question for your own good. So just to touch again on what Patrick mentioned, the Master Brewers website, if you go there to the flow chart, right at the beginning is how do I get started on GMPs or GBPs. You can either go directly to the link or you hit that button, and the template will download. It's a Word document. You can fill in the blank with your company name, who's responsible, et cetera, make it your own. You can go in and edit it if you're responsible for the content of that program. So we've left it available to add or delete. I caution you not to delete without really thinking it through, but it's your program. You have to own it. And therefore, we left it editable. So it's there as just the beginning of the resources for you to get started. So hopefully everybody's got it. That's a really, really quick overview, but this is pretty basic stuff, and I would recommend that you download the document to get started, read through it, and then just pick away one little bit at a time, and before you know it, you'll have a good GMP program. So, anyway, good luck. Tatiana?
All right, thank you. All right. Okay, so now we've learned about why are we here, we've learned about the resources that are available, and we've learned about good brewing practices and some of the basics things. So these are things that you have to have in place. You have to have those good brewing practices in place. You can have the most amazing HACCP program, but if you don't have your good brewing practices in place, it's not worth a darn. It just won't work. You can't get fancy with food safety and do HACCP until you get your food safety basics nailed down. So let's talk about taking it to the next step. And once we've got our good brewing practices in place, let's talk about HACCP. So this really is not rocket science. Okay, so HACCP simply is just another tool in your arsenal that you can use to enhance the safety of your product. And what it's going to do is ask you to go back and just analyze everything that you're doing in the facility from a real prevention perspective. And it's going to help you enhance the safety of what you're making in your facility. So enhance. Okay. The first thing it's going to do, it's going to help you really understand and explain to anyone who walks into your brewery exactly what food, what product you're making. Because beer is food. We put it in our mouths. It goes through our bodies. It's food. Then understand how you're making it, okay? And we'll talk about those principles. Then you're going to identify and focus on what needs to be controlled, okay, so that your consumers don't get sick, they don't get injured, they don't get maimed, or they don't die. No one will have many customers if they keep doing that to their customers. Okay, so very basic, right? You don't want to do this to your customers. So why? Right? You want to protect your customers, and you actually want to add a little bit of discipline. And really, HACCP is one of the first steps, which is going to start bringing you the kind of discipline that you want to put into your operations, which will actually make your life easier. You go from fighting fires, being very reactive, your daily processes, to thinking about things ahead of time to be much more preventive. Okay. It's going to force the business to look at what they're making and really think about what could go wrong. I like to also equate HACCP to Murphy's Law. Everybody knows about Murphy's Law, right? What can go wrong will go wrong. We've had those days. Hell, we've had those weeks. So this is HACCP is thinking about, okay, so what is Murphy going to do in my brewery? And what can I do in order to assure Murphy doesn't do that? And if Murphy does do something, what's the consequence? And how do we, you know, how do we fix it in the event that it does happen? So it's thinking about all these things in advance. All right. So one cool thing that I like about HACCP is that it's very disciplined. It's very step by step. It's very logical. For me, HACCP is the best thing since sliced bread. So how does it start? It's very formalized. First thing you got to do is you got to look at the structure. Okay, it's always set up like this. HACCP is 5 preliminary tasks and 7 principles. Okay, first, the preliminary tasks are simply getting to know your product, your process, and your people. Right? It's getting to know everything. And if we look at task 1, you're going to put a team together. You're going to have that team be from different parts of the brewery, and they're going to talk about different aspects of the process. And they're going to be responsible for putting this thing together to review it and keep it active and keep it real. And then you're going to talk about what you're making. Okay, what is it that you're actually making? What kind of product? Are you making a cider? Are you making a beer? What kind of package is it going into? Those kinds of things need to be discussed. Then, how's this product going to be used? Right? If it's going to be ready to drink, that's great. But there are some folks that actually do sell byproducts which are going to be used as ingredients in other parts of the food industry. So it's always worth understanding how is your beer going to be used and how are your products going to be used. And then how's it made? Step-by-step process. You guys know how beer is made. You guys know how you make your product. But you want to spell it out for anyone who may not be familiar with it. Because as you bring in new people into your breweries to help take over and help start working with you, now you have a great teaching tool that you can help take them through. This is how we make our product. And if any inspector shows up, you can take them through this and say, this is how we make our product. And then there has to be a confirmation. So you've got all this fancy paperwork where you've written down exactly where you start and where you end with your process flow diagrams. Now you got to actually physically take that and walk the floor and make sure that, yep, this happens here. Okay, so I'm at receiving, I'm doing this. Okay, so we go to the next step. And you go from step to step and confirm that what you got on paper is actually what's happening in the production floor. And these things are so important because you can't move forward with HACCP until you have these things done. Okay, you've got to understand what you're making and how you're making it. Then come the principles. Okay, so HACCP has 7 principles, and I'm just going to put them in plain English. Okay, so the first principle is called developing your hazard analysis, and simply means think about Murphy. Ask yourselves what could go wrong while you're making the product, and what controls can you take proactively in order to make it safe. Right? And how can you control this? Right? What could go wrong? So what things could sneak in with your raw materials and your ingredients? And what things could your process make worse or create a new, what we're going to call, hazard? Okay, that's the hazard analysis. And when we talk about this step, this part of the process, I want to picture yourselves driving a fast little sports car down a very curvy, windy road with lots of drop-offs, okay? And what you're trying to do is think about those curves and think about the drop-offs ahead of time so then you can put some control measures down. So as you're thinking about these curves, you're thinking about what could go wrong, you're thinking about where your car could veer off the road, where your process can veer off the road, you're going to use the language of HACCP, which is we're going to categorize those things that could go wrong into three types. Your biologicals, okay, and this is all those microorganisms that you hear about in the news. Your chemicals, right? These are the dangerous chemicals that could end up in your product by mistake. Right, so these could be sanitizers from your CIP system. This could be pesticides for those of you that do your own pest control. It could be anything that could get in there. Allergens. Allergens are also considered to be a chemical. So what if you're making a beer that has an allergen and a beer that doesn't have an allergen? How do you keep those things separate? And then how do you prove that that the product that's not supposed to have the allergen doesn't have it? And then physical. You have a lot of moving parts on your equipment. You've got a lot of folks walking around. You've got maintenance folks. You've got people that are walking with equipment and tools and parts and pieces. Any of that could end up inside of your machinery or inside of your finished package. Okay. So you add control measures, right? You first think about where all those hazards can sneak in, where they can be created, where they can be made worse, and then you apply control measures. So this first principle is the biggest. It takes the most time, and it takes a lot of thinking through in order to determine and develop. But once you have this list, you're going to have this long list of things that could go wrong, then you whittle it down to the ones that are absolutely key, the ones that you are going to say, this product does not go out the door if this step is violated. And that's what's called a critical control point. Okay. It's a point which is so precious and so important that it cannot be violated. And if it does, you know exactly what to do, and everybody knows what to do with that product if that critical control point is violated. Once you establish your critical control point, you have to figure out your critical limit. So how much room do you have to lose control before you have to do something about it? And then how are you going to tell if you lose control? The easiest way, watch it, right? You may have some instrumentation that'll do this for you automatically. It'll do it continuously. Or you may have your colleagues that are in the brewery that are responsible for watching things to make sure that you're doing, that this is under control. That's called monitoring. Everybody catch that? Right. This is like the proudest thing. The thing I'm most proud of is a little car. Okay. Took me about 4 days to figure out how to do that. So if you lose control, then what do? Right. You have to take corrective action. Okay. So you have to prescribe. You have to define. If this goes wrong, you do this. Right. So that no one has a question on how it's done. That's called corrective action. And then, how are you going to make sure it was done? Okay. Once we start getting into, we get into proof. Whenever someone from the outside wants to come in and see our facilities, whenever we bring in new customers, they want to know, how do you know that things were done? Okay. So what's the proof that it was actually done? Because I can tell you, from an auditor's perspective, If the auditor didn't see it, and if it wasn't written down, it didn't happen. So how do you make sure that at least that's being done? It's called verification. How do you prove that things actually happen in your brewery? And there's lots of different ways to do this. And then what's the legal record that you actually did this? That's called record keeping. Right? And this is one area where a lot of folks struggle with. You may be doing a lot of the things that that Jim talked about already, a lot of things that I'm talking about already, but it's not having those records, which can get you. Record keeping. So those are the seven principles of HACCP. Okay? Not too scary. They make a lot of sense once you start walking through them slowly and really thinking about them in plain English. But HACCP can't stand by itself. It really is part of this multi-level approach. You start with those good brewing practices. You start with that solid foundation of controls inside your brewery, right? If you're building a house, you're going to have a floor. Then you add HACCP, right? HACCP will add some of the structure. HACCP is very, very directed at very specific hazards. And then you can take it one step further if you want, and you can add a little bit of further discipline, which is called management systems. So where to go? I love the fact that the three of us built these presentations on our own, and we all have the same last few slides, which is great because we're all thinking about the same thing. We're all thinking about, we're all thinking about the resources that are available through the MBAA website. So go through that site. There's lots of really great information there. Okay, and here's a snapshot of the food safety team. And I just wanted to talk about this HACCP class. We actually had a HACCP workshop this week, Monday and Tuesday, where we debuted the MBAA HACCP course. And it was a fantastic event. And we're going to repeat it again at in October's MBAA meeting. So if you missed it this time, come check us out in October. And with that, questions?
Can you explain how one would conduct a mock recall?
What we have done is there's a team who has to decide to do the mock recall, and can you hear me okay?
No, get up here.
We will, whoever is kind of in charge of doing it will choose a scenario. For instance, you got a lot of contaminated hops in, for instance, and you notify everybody according to your recall plan, which is one of the documents you have to have. You notify everybody of the issue, as much information as you have, as far as lot numbers, delivery dates, etc., on that lot of hops. And then they have a responsibility, according to the plan, to gather information to try to narrow down what finished products or in-process products were affected by that lot of hops. And the better record keeping you have, the smaller and narrower that recall could be. The more lax you are, the less you can prove, the wider the recall becomes. And then ultimately, if you have to actually recall from the market, you have to know where those products shipped, and you have to be able to document where that lot of hops came from, where it went, and then ultimately, how many cases were affected, what distributor were they at, were they in your gift shop, in your warehouse, et cetera, and then finally, what was the outcome? Did you destroy them? Did you pull them back? What have you? And then keep all that in one record and file it. You're required to do that at least once a year under the HACCP program. And then I'd recommend doing it more than once. And try different things. Do it forward to backward. Do it, a customer calls with a complaint on a bottle that tastes like bleach. Do they have a code? Can you trace it back? Do your sanitation records match up? You do it from the beginning to the end and the end to the beginning. Do it in the middle. Go both ways. Kind of test your system. You'll find out how good it is if you do it that way.
I'll add one little bit. So one thing that's also really important to keep in mind is not only are you testing your traceability system, right? So can you really go one forward out to the distributor, and then can you really go one back to your suppliers? But also, does everybody on the recall team understand what they're supposed to do? So when you decide to do your mock recall, right, create a form so that you know exactly what questions to ask and where you're going to record things, but then hit the timer and see how long it really does take you. and practices and make sure that everybody understands that, no, this is serious, that we're gonna do a mock recall because we want to find out how quickly we can regain control, identify where everything is, and how quickly everybody understands their roles and responsibilities, because you're going to have key people in your recall team that are going to have key responsibilities. And if they don't know what to do, if they don't know where to find the records, you're sunk. And practice it, because you want to be able to prove that you can do this quickly. The companies that survive recalls, right? Maybe 10, 15 years ago, we would have said, oh, recall, it's a huge R word, and nobody wants to go through this. Of course, nobody wants to go through it. But many years ago, companies didn't survive recalls, right? That was just done. They were done. The companies that survive today are the ones that regain control quickly, effectively, and are really good communicators. So just be prepared, and then practice this. Practice it. You know, you've got to do it at least once a year. Do it at least, really do it twice a year, and do one forward and then one back. You know, going forward, you're grabbing your finished product and going all the way back is easy, but going the other way around is hard. But you learn more when it's hard than you do when it's easy.
I just want to add in two things that I think are extremely important that we may not have stressed enough as we're talking through these. I can look at some of your faces, and I you're thinking about all this documentation and all these things that just you need to manage. It's very important, two things. First, this has to be a team effort. You need to have a solid team around you that can that is helping you on this journey, and that you don't put it all in. If you're the representative taking this back from the CBC and you're going to go do this, you'll burn yourself out if you're taking it all on your own shoulders. It can be a lot as you go forward, so get a team that you make decisions with. The second thing that's got to happen before you even think about this is you got to have buy-in from leadership of your brewery, okay? If you don't, then you could be leading the charge here and making great progress and putting all these things in place, and then decision can be made, we're not really going to do that anymore. And then you just lose all of that, and it could really take the wind out of your sails. There's a lot of different ways to do this, and it's at all levels. This week, Rob Fraser is one of our speakers, trainers, Sierra Nevada, quality manager. And, you know, Ken Grossman, for him, he's not all about HACCP, right? He's all about making great, consistent beer for his consumers, right? And so in Rob's role to lead the charge with high-quality food safety programs, GMPs, and HACCP, he needs to find things that are important to leadership. So he asks the questions, what's important to you? Here's what I would like to do. Let's find some ways to blend so I have full support. And those conversations have to happen first and early, or else you will never make it all the way. You have to get the buy-in at the top.
So what about accreditation and auditing once you get all of these programs set up?
All right. The question is, what about accreditation and auditing once you get all these programs in place? That's the next step. When you're ready, or sometimes when your customers say, you shall be ready, that's what you seek. There's different levels. So there is a HACCP certification. There's many organizations that do an audit and certification program for HACCP and good manufacturing practices or good brewing practices. That is the having a certification is important because it's someone else from the outside coming in and looking at what you're seeing, at what you're doing, and saying, you're doing it. Right, and it holds much more weight than if you stand up in your facility and you say, we're doing it! Yeah, we're happy, we're doing HACCP, we're doing this. So external verification, very important. Lots of groups that can do that. There's another step beyond HACCP, and that's the step of food safety management systems. And you may have heard the words SQF, BRC, GFSI, all these acronyms out there. That's the next level. That's where the food industry is going towards now. And these are internationally recognized food safety management systems. So they start with a base of HACCP, good brewing practices, and then add other management system pieces like commitment, like records, they have all different things which are above and beyond food safety. And there's programs, again, it's third-party certification where companies will come in, an auditing company will come in, review what you're doing, and then say, yep, you did it, or no, you didn't. So there's steps to go beyond. Anything that you do for with an external party just lends credibility to what you're doing internally.
Having gone through some third-party audits, it can be a frustrating procedure, especially if you're not prepared. The third-party auditors that I have run into are not familiar with the brewing practice or the brewing process, and they tend to bring in the sort of requirements that dairies and food plant or meatpacking plants, et cetera, bring in. And you can, I was frustrated as I'll get out with having to explain over and over and over again the difference between a brewery and the risks involved in a brewery and that and a meatpacking plant, because their form is generic. And so one of the motivations that we want to do as brewers is to educate them as well and to have the resources in place and develop these sort of audits and tools as we mature as an industry and as a committee, et cetera, so that those sort of accreditations and inspections are accurate to the risks that are inherent in brewing and not be, you know, judged as if we were a meatpacking plant, for instance. So if you go down that road, go in wide, eyes wide open. So. Well, most of the bacterial contamination issues that are a serious, as we all know, a very, very serious risk in meat and poultry or meat and dairy and produce, et cetera, that are not a risk. And as you go through HACCP, they may be a control point or a quality issue. It's where we have to separate quality from food safety. It's related, but it's not the same. Bacterial issues tend to be quality related in breweries, whereas they're serious issues elsewhere. So they'll get hung up on drain cleaners and separate brushes for this. I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't wash a tank with the same brush I washed the drain with, but they'll get hung up on failing you for the whole audit if you don't have different color brushes for your drains versus your equipment. You'll find as you get into HACCP, most of the true CCPs are in packaging for material in bottles, glass chips, filler tubes, those sort of things. So we failed the third-party audit because we don't require people to take off a wedding band. We say no stones, but a wedding band we've chosen to be okay. Now, that's something as culturally we mature, we may get to the point where we're ready to say, okay, guys, you have to take off your wedding band. But complete failure of a third-party audit for that one decision as a company. So you have to, if you're going to go down that road, be ready to do it two or three or four times. And do it on your terms is, again, one of the motivations. Do it on your terms. Hire that third-party inspector as your inspector before a customer says, I'm sending in my inspector and you're doing it with a gun to your head. So I would highly recommend being proactive. Do it internally first. Get as far along as you can. I think you can probably get third-party inspection forms. Maybe that's something we should have so that you know the sort of questions that they're going to have or ask and grade you on. And then hire your own inspector, work with them to get your programs in place before a customer like Costco, Walmart, or any of these guys. Even I'm not sure if anybody's ever had a distributor ask for HACCP programs, but I know the big retailers are starting to ask those questions. So, great question.
It sounds like there are a lot of regulatory pressures for HACCP and good manufacturing practices. What are the real risks to a consumer with a bottle of beer? I mean, we offer pretty safe product. Nobody dies from drinking beer directly. What are the real risks to our customers?
This came up a lot in the past few days.
Okay, so the real risks are what Jim mentioned. It's the pieces of glass. It's the foreign material that can end up in the bottle, and the customer may not see it. And that becomes a choking hazard or a cutting hazard, and you could potentially injure your customer. At the end of the day, this is HACCP and good brewing practices are part of your legal defense that you're doing the right thing in the brewery. We live in a very litigious society, right? Y'all have encountered this. And if you have good, strong programs in place and you can prove that you've got them in place, you can prove your people are doing them, you can prove that they work, you're less likely to get sued. You can stand up in a court of law and you can say, we did this on this day. If you get hauled into court because a customer found a shard of glass inside of their bottle, it happens. You know, those kinds of things happen. So it's mostly the physical. Some of it is some of the chemical hazards. When a big oops happens and somehow a chemical gets inside your product, whether it's sanitizer, whether it's potentially an allergen that could get in there, those are two of the biggest ones that are the risks. Microbiological? No. No, it's really biological hazards. Listeria, salmonella? No. But you guys have to understand why. You have to explain the why to a third party and have them understand that you know why, right? What are the factors that inherently make your product safer than many of the other products that they're typically dealing with?
Yeah, just quickly on the biological one, we rest on the assumption that beer doesn't support any pathogen. That's normal beer, normal pH, normal CO2, normal alcohol. But as people are experimenting with new ingredients and new procedures to be crafty and be different than your competitor, understand what those new ingredients are doing to the beer, and are they affecting the pH of the alcohol? Are they introducing potential unknown biologicals that change the normal beer that is so-called safe? So just because we think beer doesn't support a pathogen doesn't mean it can't in the future, given some sort of weird ingredient that we come upon. So watch that one.
Can I get one to ask? It's going to be super fast. So just to pull us together, I think, are we out of time? Is that, you're going to close us off? And I know you guys got more questions. So it's a win-win for us then. We want to make sure that we're delivering a lot of value to give resources and knowledge, and people are all different parts of their journey. We've shown the website a million times. Please go there and contact us through there. Send me an email. Tell me what you're looking for and what's valuable to you, both short-term, what can we give you now, and what else can we start bringing? We're looking to partner with VA, the quality committee, and start bringing a full-service support for all the breweries. We need to know where everyone is and what they're looking for to make these conferences better, to make our websites better, all those things. So I can't ask that enough to give us feedback so we can provide better resources.
Perfect. All right. Let's thank our panel.
Thanks so much.
Super info. Great.